You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Tuesday, January 17th, 2017. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the King, Scott Angle, the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson. Tony Cincotta, my name is Greg Sussman. We go the next 3 hours for you. What's going on, Scotty?
Interesting day in the National Basketball Association. Always a festive day on a Martin Luther King Day. We had the we had a big football game on Sunday that lived up to the hype, but the big basketball game on Monday didn't, as the Warriors dominated the Cavs. We had a bit of drama with Draymond Green and LeBron James, and we had some injuries with Anthony Davis and Chris Paul, but fortunately, as you'll hear on the show and in the news update, x-rays were negative on both of those guys.
So that's really, so you're saying, well, Chris Paul's injuries is what's up with you?
What's that?
I go, hey, what's up? You're like, Chris Paul got injured.
What's up with me is the NBA. That's what's up with me. Thank you.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Corey.
Yo.
Corey, what's up with you, man?
I got more going on than the NBA.
You got the MLB up with you or what?
Ain't nothing much chilling, actually. You know what I mean? Sitting here today, I got to turn my headphones down a little bit. Fantasy Executive sound a little bit louder in the zone.
At least your mic's on today.
Yeah, I was able to figure that part out. But other than that, you know what I'm saying, feeling pretty good. Obviously coming off a disappointing Sunday, but feeling pretty good, rocking and rolling, you know what I mean? Feel fresh, feel inspired, you know what I mean? Got a big week coming up, you know what I mean? 45 gets inaugurated, so, you know, I'm supposed to go meet him at Trump Tower today, but I think I'm trying to go in the back door.
Yeah.
Like, Fantasy Exec, come down here and holler at me.
you know, that's interesting.
If he was asking you to come holler at him, would you go?
Yeah,
okay.
He's president. You gotta show up. You gotta hear him out, right? Tony Cincotta, good morning, my friend.
How are we doing today?
I'm doing okay, man. How are you?
I'm all right. I mean, what the heck? I'm breathing. Hey, you know what?
Yeah, that's about as good as.
Are you saying the NBA is up with you too?
No. I was thinking about today. I would actually be less religious than I actually am now if I was Muslim, because I really enjoy bacon.
Oh boy.
I'd rather you talk about the NBA.
Well, you ask me how. Don't ask me how I am if you don't want to know. That's what people say.
That doesn't. So you're saying then, I should probably just stop asking how you are.
Well, no, you should probably be comparable to how people feel and not be so politically correct.
Well, you know, I'm just trying not to get fired, Tony.
I just had some great bacon.
Right.
And I had some egg sandwich, and sure, it was very enjoyable. And I said, man, if I was Muslim, I couldn't enjoy the sandwich. My life would be a little less fulfilling.
Now, yeah,
what's life without bacon, right?
Well, you know, Scott, technically, Jews shouldn't eat bacon either, to be fair.
I'm about to say, isn't it the same?
Well, Jews shouldn't also respond to unbelievable things by going, Jesus!
Again, that's actually a falsity, because Jews actually believe Jesus existed. Jesus is a real person, according to the Jewish religion, for the record.
Well, yeah, but let's not get technical about it. You should.
Well, you're calling me out.
You should call out to Jesus,
Scott,
when you don't believe
Scott,
something you're doing.
I don't call out to him.
You got technical first.
I don't call out to him.
He got technical first.
He did get technical first, yeah, for sure. You know, I was just sitting there.
I was just, you know.
Corey, let me ask you this.
What's the deal, Greg?
You are back here. Now, we had some responses on Twitter that were wondering if your absence yesterday.
Yeah, they thought I was hiding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was related to the Cowboys' loss on Sunday afternoon.
No, that wasn't.
Oh, see?
Yeah,
that's
no.
That's crazy. I attributed it to Martin Luther King. Which one was it?
I had some other things go on yesterday morning, so. But no, big shout out to.
To be fair, Corey, you know, I'll back you up on this. Yeah. Corey did text me. He said, "Listen, I was coming in today. I had a family emergency. I can't make it. I'll make sure I'm there tomorrow."
Yeah, yeah. Corey's days off are usually planned ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what I ended up doing? Well, shout out to Aaron Rodgers. Let me tell you something. Losing to Aaron Rodgers, as a Knicks fan, losing to Aaron Rodgers is like losing to Michael Jordan. It's just the excellence. It's the excellence of execution.
Is Bret Hart now too?
There is nothing you can really do but throw your hands up and just be like, you just got beat by the better player. So valiant effort by both teams, but definitely a big time performance from Aaron Rodgers and, you know, fitting. Jared Cook. Bigfoot was like, you see it? Do you see the talent now?
When he caught that ball, you're the first person I thought of.
Me too. Yeah. I'm like, of all people, I like to get Bigfooted.
Yeah. Jared Cook. Oh, God. Jared Cook immediately moves. I don't ever want to discuss Jared Cook again.
Corey's going to draft him next season.
Where is this Jared Cook at?
You're going to draft him next year. He's going to suffer a season-ending knee injury.
But you know what's funny, Corey? Like, just literally the four plays directly preceding that, you're like, oh, there's Jared Cook dropping this pass, dropping that pass. That's the Jared Cook I love.
Yeah, I know. But
he got hit off the head with the halo pass.
Yeah, that's Jared Cook.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Jared Cook. And then all of a sudden, it's like, that's not Jared Cook.
Now, the obvious question, Corey, is do you regret not going? Now, you were going to go to Jerry World, see your first time in Jerry World, see a playoff game, number one overall seed.
I decided to wait for the NFC
Championship. Even though, you know, listen, you either facing a Giants team that's beaten you twice before or a Packers team that's the hottest team in the NFL. And you're like, you know what? I'll go in the NFC Championship.
I rolled the dice. I took the gamble and was very close to going to the NFC Championship game. But I looked at it as, when it came down to it, well, if they don't play the game, the money be back in the account.
That's right.
Yes. So it's
saved a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot. So there you go right there. So the money is back in the account. Will not be attending the NFC Championship game, even though going to it in Atlanta would not be bad. But, not going to happen. So, no, I do not regret the decision. I think the NFC Championship game was the prize. And then to actually have to be there and witness that kick would have been even more.
Twice! A 56-yarder and a 50-yarder.
Yeah, would have probably been even more painful.
Probably.
One other thing in my life I forgot about. My favorite wrestler died growing up.
Oh, Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah. He was my favorite wrestler growing up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I saw that. When he jumped off the cage of the garden, that did it for you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, yeah. He was... You know, back in the day, like, it was so funny. Like, Triple H was talking about how people changed from rooting for Bob Backlund to Jimmy Snuka. I thought Bob Backlund was the worst champion in the history of WWE.
Right.
Like, he was so boring.
Sure.
It was so incredible to watch. It was so amazing how they used to let a guy, you know, hold a title for over 5 years at a time, which I actually enjoyed better because you'd go and you'd hope. It was kind of special. So
you knew who the champ was.
Yeah. So I kind of enjoyed that, but he was so horrible to watch wrestle.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a wrestling fan, you guys know, but my uncle Bill Apter is a wrestling journalist. He's got a new book out. His wrestling fix I didn't know was broken, and I read the whole thing, and he has some legendary stories if you're a wrestling fan of Jimmy Snuka hanging out on the road with Jimmy Snuka.
Really?
You know what I don't want to do? Hang on the road with Jimmy Snuka.
Superfly.
Because I think if you read
the book.
You read the book.
I did read the book.
Yeah. It was a very interesting story about Jimmy Snuka.
No. I don't want to hang on the road with Jimmy Snuka because he also probably murdered someone. And that's probably bad.
Who, Jimmy Superfly?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Nah, let me tell
you. Well, those weren't the kind of stories I was talking about.
I obviously know that,
to be
Scott,
sure.
I read the book.
When I was growing up, Jimmy Snuka was my favorite wrestler. You know what's so crazy about wrestlers? Like, when you hear a wrestler's dead, my first thought was, I thought he was dead already.
It's scary.
It's true, though, right?
Yeah, I thought he was dead already.
Is superstar Billy Graham still alive?
That's a good one.
I think he is. I believe he is, yeah.
He was the guy I liked when I was a kid.
Sure. So, you know, it's actually very sad. It's really sad that we could actually play a game about this.
Yeah,
I know.
I also like Mil Máscaras.
You know,
Superstar Billy Graham is alive. Would you believe this? I told you George the Animal Steel is still alive.
Yeah. No, because what happens is cocaine and steroids, you know, it's tough to bounce back from that.
It's true.
And not alcohol as well.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Painkillers, everything that they put into their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So, working for Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
This week I'm going to set you on fire. It's going to be great.
When I went, I went and met those, a lot of the legends in the wrestling world. Great, the Hammer Valentine looked like he was dead, even though he was alive.
When I met superstar Billy Graham, it's like, you know, it's just like all his legs were like, shot. He could hardly move around. It was sad.
Wow, mm-hmm. What was you trying to do to him? What?
Oh, I saw Mick Foley trying to talk to about my uncle.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Mick Foley. He could barely walk at SiriusXM.
Yeah, I saw Mick Foley. Yeah, there I was talking to him. Yeah.
What?
Now he's on Raw every week.
Why would you? I mean, I guess it's really got to be a passion for wrestling and entertainment. And just the culture to go into that profession.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would never think to myself, oh, I want to be a wrestler.
Sure.
Never. It would never cross my mind. It just looks like it's a foolish thing to do.
I think people make a very early decision in their careers. Like, if you listen on demand with my interview with Eric Young on the Fantasy Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah,
hour,
our buddy, EY.
You know,
is
he
a
talks
wrestler.
About, like, a lot of these wrestlers I've spoken to over the years, and Greg would know, like, this is something they decide they want to do very early in life, and it becomes a very singular focus. You know, it's kind of like when we had Chase Outlaw here. It's not, you know, bull riding's not something you think you want to do, but these guys, very early in life, you know, see this and decide, okay, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
It's like, and I think it's like all the rest of us. It's like when I was growing up, I was like, you know, I was reading Sport Magazine and Inside Sports and decided, you know, writing, you know, sports journalism is something I want to get into.
Yeah, I want to be a mathlete.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of wrestlers do have the passion you're talking about, Scott. A lot of them are failed football players too, right?
Yeah.
Like The Rock, right? The Rock played football at university at the U. And then he realized he was not going to be an NFL football player, and he went to the wrestling. And I think a lot of people take that path as well. Speaking of wrestling and football, actually, I went to a pretty cool thing over the weekend. I meant to tell you guys this yesterday. So I went to one of the premieres of This Was the XFL, the 30 for 30.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned you had tickets for that.
So I wound up going on Saturday. I didn't make the Friday night premiere. I went on Saturday to the 30 for 30 premiere. It was down in Cooper Union here in the lower Manhattan down there. And Charlie Ebersole, who was Dick Ebersole's son, directed it. And he was there taking some questions. Also there, He Hate Me was in the house.
Oh, Rod Smart.
Rod Smart in the house taking some pictures. That was pretty cool. And I thought it was a very good documentary. I recommend it. It's February 2nd. The 30 for 30 comes out. It was good stuff. You know, it basically focused on the relationship between Dick Ebersole. Had exclusive interviews with Vince McMahon, which is pretty cool. Bob Costas was in the 30 for 30. He was coming off, like, hysterically. Because he was like, this idea is the dumbest idea I've ever heard. And he was just like cursing and stuff, which was cool. Matt Vasgersian, huge fan of this announcer now, because he was dropping F-bombs like you'd never believe.
Really?
And like my buddy who I was with was like, is this guy actually an announcer for things? I'm like, yeah, he's actually the number two Fox announcer in baseball.
Yeah.
It was a really cool documentary, really cool inside, like inside behind the curtain of network stuff with the XFL, which was really, really cool. And I do recommend it. And I was happy I went. And the place was pretty packed. I was surprised
sounds
so many
like
people
cool time,
liked the XFL or even remember the XFL.
Pretty cool.
Rod Smart like talks to Paris Lennon still, who went from the XFL to the NFL. Doesn't look Tommy Maddox all that much, but a couple bunch of guys.
Tommy Maddox
that was able to make the NFL from the XFL. It was cool, and I thought I actually had a question for Mr. Me. And did you get that joke, Corey? Mr. Me.
Yeah, good one.
I can tell when you're not listening to me.
No, I'm listening to you, but I'm looking for Chase Outlaw. See how he did this past weekend.
Yeah. So.
Yeah,
all
right.
No, I'm listening,
I like
though.
That.
So
that's a good one, Greg.
Thank you, appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So I asked him, like, listen, you played for the Las Vegas whatever Extreme, I think they were called Las Vegas Extreme, something like that. Las Vegas Maniac, I don't know.
I think it was the Extreme.
I don't know if it was the Los Angeles Extreme. Whatever, you played for Las Vegas,
right?
And you were in Vegas as a 22-year-old, let's say, right? You have all these kids from Oakland that are about to go to Las Vegas in a year or two, you know, a year, two, three.
Yeah.
I go, how did you react as a football player? Like, how does that work? Like, how does that work? I'm thinking about it from a fantasy perspective of every time you have a team that goes to freaking Las Vegas to play the Raiders. Like, how did you
Focus.
Focus. That was the word I was looking for. Exactly. Yeah. How did you focus? And he basically said, listen, I was a 22-year-old male, single male. You think I was focused all the time? Absolutely not. But at some point, like, when I'm trying to make the NFL, and it's a little different, I'm trying to make the NFL, you have to forget that the strip exists a little bit. You have to forget those things.
I mean, you got to focus,
You can take a trip to L.A., and it's there. You can take a trip to damn Cleveland, and it's there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, JR said that's not true, so I believe JR.
Oh, yeah.
He said not Cleveland.
JR used to bring people on the road with him, though.
Oh, I believe that. Yeah, but he said in Cleveland it was very boring.
Oh, that's why he got married.
That's why he brought people on the road.
This is probably why the NFL, or the USFL, didn't make it now. When was this event?
The documentary premiere?
Yeah.
The weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
So they had this event during NFL games?
No, actually, did not. It wasn't Sunday. It was Friday night, no NFL games, and then they premiered the movie 11-1-3, and the game started at 4:30.
So they actually put, I was wondering how people showed up to that and watched 20 years ago as opposed to this weekend's NFL games.
Yeah. And I thought the Las Vegas comment was really, really interesting.
That is interesting.
But it's not the same. You know, Las Vegas is not the same as it was back then. Like, you'd walk down the street before, and you could find whatever you wanted.
Sure.
Now they do a good job of hiding it. Like, you have to get a little pamphlet, a little book, and then take it back to your room and go through it and find it.
What are you talking about?
20 years ago, it was just out there on the street.
Did they still hand out cards on the street, though? You know.
No, that's like what I mean. They hand out cards and the pamphlet before they used to be on the street.
Yeah. Now you take the pamphlet back to your room and thumb through it.
Yeah. Email somebody.
That's why you
call them up. You call them up. They give you a price, and you say, "No, honey, I don't want to buy you. I want to rent you."
So along the same lines, I have a weird question, Tony. Sure. And let me ask you this: you know, you're panning through this pamphlet, right? These cards. What you order off the pamphlet, is it ever accurate to the what you picked out off the menu?
I've never actually done this. My friends all are into, like, they're a little older than me, and they're all out of their mind. Like, I'm so insane. Like, when I go to Las Vegas, I spend my whole time in the book, and I never leave there, which is insane because it's such a beautiful city. Actually, I went and saw a couple comedy shows last time, so I'm graduating and actually doing things. No, there's been times, no, they're not the same person. That's why people get a limo and they go drive an hour out to Reno and they go to the Chicken Ranch, which is so famous, because when you get there, you can actually pick the one you want and then you make a deal with her at the bar.
Okay.
When you walk in, I saw the bunny rabbit on HBO. Yeah, there's no menu. Like, when you walk in, there's no menu for, you know, each act, how much it costs. You have to negotiate that.
I like that. I like negotiation. Make trade negotiation, Scott. In fantasy.
Bring it all together.
There you go. They tie a bow on it.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, speaking of negotiations and stuff, we'll take a break. We here at the Fantasy Sports Network, we know the Hall of Fame is officially being. The votes are done, Corey. You took too long.
No, I put mine.
Oh, you did?
He voted.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought he was like, oh, okay, I'm voting. We at the Fantasy Sports Network, Radio Network, and Network. We can file our own Hall of Fame vote, and the vote officially will be announced tomorrow at 8. I'm assuming it will leak out tonight, tomorrow. So we want to talk about it a little bit today. So when we come back, we'll discuss how our Hall of Fame vote went on the other side of the break. This is Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hall of Fame voting commences tomorrow with the announcement of who will be in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. It's interesting we're playing football music now, but that's okay. Didn't really make much sense.
I guess we didn't have the This Week in Baseball theme ready.
I don't want the This Week in Baseball theme, believe me.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just realized I'm on the wrong. Yeah, there we go. Now, Tony, are you a big, I feel like you're not. Are you a big, like, Hall of Fame person? Do you care about these things?
No, it's absolutely flawed. Like, I believe the whole process is flawed.
Do you believe that because it's, like, writers voting or what?
Yeah. But, you know what, to be honest, though, I don't know, and I hate being like this because it's easy to point out the faults in something. So if you point out the faults, you better have a resolution, is what I truly believe, if you're going to complain.
Right, of course, yeah.
But I don't find 100% accuracy of, like, if anyone could. Like, I don't think the players are the right play. people to do it. So I don't really have a resolution, which so it bothers me a little bit.
Okay, fair enough. Scott, I know you're a big. You are a big Hall of Fame person.
I wouldn't say big. You know, I look forward to who's announced. You know, and
well, you've been talking about an old school fantasy a little bit. I know that.
I think it became more interesting because of the exercise that we did, where we all had to put in our own votes, and it made it. I think it made me develop a greater appreciation for the exercise that they go through. You know, you don't always agree with any Hall of Fame and who they put in there, but you know, it was fun doing the exercise and, you know, taking a lot of time yesterday to peer through the, you know, and remember, you know, some of the accomplishments from these guys. And I don't sit down and watch the speeches unless it's like absolutely like one of my favorite all-time players. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I enjoy seeing guys that I grew up enjoying, you know, getting their just due.
Tony, so Scott talks about not, you know, really watching speeches or whatnot. I'm much more likely to watch a WWE Hall of Fame speech than a MLB Hall of Fame speech. And that's a fact.
Really? Really? Yeah. So you get fired. See, I like some of the speeches. Like, I love when they talk about, like, their childhood. Like, I like guys that overachieve in life. That's,
okay.
Yeah. Like, that inspires me. Like, the only books I read are biographies.
Okay.
I love biographies. Oh.
So we're doing our Hall of Fame. Of course, Kurt Angle announced the first Hall of Famer for WWE this year. That's pretty big news.
It's huge news.
Oh my God! Are you going to the Hall of Fame?
I hadn't thought. All I got right now is the WrestleMania, but we're trying to figure out if this is going to be a week thing.
You got to do NXT the night before. You got to.
Oh yeah. We got to. We're hoping our guy Eric Young's there. You know, Eric Young. I actually read, and I don't want to throw too much of his personal business, but Eric Young is might have been the first guy that actually won in a contract negotiation with Vince McMahon.
Really? I didn't know that story.
What they do is the WWE is when they bring people in, they give them a new name.
Right.
So they can trademark it, but Eric Young was allowed to keep his own name.
Well, a couple of people were, right? Like AJ Styles was, Samoa Joe.
Right, and they said they will never do that again.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tony, what's your favorite sports biography?
It was actually Fran Tarkenton until I actually heard him and talked to him on SiriusXM, and now I think he's just crazy.
My favorite sports biography of all time is Clemente by David Marinus.
All right.
I highly recommend if you get a hold of it, Tony.
The Rolling Stones, I can't forget. I forget the title, but the Rolling Stones one, it might be Gimme Shelter.
Yeah, I think it is Gimme Shelter.
Yeah, it was an absolute train wreck that you have to read. It's amazing that these guys are alive.
Yeah. You go get Clemente, maybe I'll read Gimme Shelter.
Gimme Shelter.
All right, there you go. So let's get back to the Hall of Fame now. Corey, I know you voted. I'm wondering one thing. I know you have the vote up on your screen here, bud. So we're all, much like the real voters are, we're all allowed 10 spots, right?
Yeah.
And some people use their 10 spots, like me. And others felt, you know, there weren't enough people that they wanted to vote for. Like Chris Pavone, right? Like, he voted for nobody. So, thank you, Chris.
I made some nominations. I didn't fill up the 10, though.
And that's fine.
I didn't fill out the 10 either. I got close, but I felt like, you know.
I didn't either.
Unless I felt like you were the best of the best at some point in your career.
Sure.
I felt like you didn't make it. And I felt there were some guys who, and everybody has a different perspective on this. And I felt like some guys weren't, even though they might eventually. I treated like a real voter. There were some guys that felt like were on the ballot for the first time that I didn't feel were first ballot Hall of Fame.
I'm sorry. Just to follow up with that. So I was going to point out something funny. So I'll get back to you 1 second, Scott, because I want to bring up a point you said.
Yeah.
And who all voted for, you had 10 was the max, right? No, did you see anybody? And there's a red line. You can't go past the red line.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
there's one person
that
voted three more people past the red line.
Yeah. I was like, is he drunk? How do you not comprehend that? Like,
so I thought long and hard about this, Tony. And I'm thinking maybe he's just like, well, here are the people that are just out. Like, here's the people that just missed it.
Oh, that could be it.
Like, maybe that's it, you know? Yeah. Not that I'm going to vote for these people. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
You're giving the guy the benefit of the doubt. That's very good.
Thank you. I am. Anyway, Scotty. You said you didn't vote for some. There's people you voted for because you didn't feel that they're first ballot Hall of Famers, right? I don't want to misquote you.
I felt like I don't want to put too many guys on my ballot. And if I feel a guy's like eventually going to get in or I eventually want to put him in, I had to have some sort of cutout because, you know, some of those guys who were probably first balloters, But the way that we, you know, we're discussing this, I think it was with Benny that, you know, there's kind of, or Jake's, there's kind of a backlog of guys who I felt should get in, and I have to cut it off at some point. I feel like these are the guys that should get in now, and there has to be a cutoff point for me, like, okay, I can get this guy in next year. I don't want to overload
my
ballot.
And let me ask you this.
Wait, I'm sorry
go
again,
ahead,
Corey.
Go ahead.
You don't want... See, that's not fair to me. In my, this is just me, right? That's not fair to me because you have 10 spots, right? You have 10 spots. And you're choosing, listen, this guy doesn't belong on the first ballot. If you believe he's a Hall of Famer, he's a Hall of Famer.
I have very minor questions about some of those first balloters. And if I have any inkling of any doubt, the guy's not going to make the ballot this year.
What's going to change next year?
Probably the field, because I feel like there's a backlog of guys who haven't gotten in that I feel should get in because you have
two empty spots here. You could have chosen those people, right? You have two spots left to fill, and you chose not to.
I feel like, to me, my personal rule is,
yes,
if you're a first battle Hall of Famer, yes, you have to be one of the greatest of all time, period.
So that really bothers me.
Yeah.
That concept really bothers me.
That's okay.
Because
you don't have to agree with it.
So it reminds me of like stupid old Murray Chass, right? Like, oh, I'm old grumpy. I'm not going to vote anybody into the first ballot because I'm an old grumpy sports writer.
By the way, somebody did get in first ballot for me, though. There's one guy that did.
But, like, to me, it shouldn't be done, in my opinion, it shouldn't be done like that.
Look, I've heard a lot of people say that, and that's fair, you know? But
like, if you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer.
I hear that, that's fair.
Right.
But I did want to water down my ballot, you know, and I don't think water down is the way to describe it. I didn't want to overdo it in my ballot. I gave myself a cutoff point of 6, and I went over that.
Why'd you go into it with a predetermined number?
The predetermined number is 10. That is the number that's
I felt like I went into it with
I'm going to pick six guys.
I didn't say that. I said I got to a point where I was looking at it, okay, there's only 6 or 8 guys that I feel like – there's 6 guys that I feel slam dunk. There are 2 guys that I felt like I was a little bit on the fence with, but I was leaning towards it. And the other was I just felt I wasn't ready to do it. You know, anybody can disagree with me, but it's my ballot.
This is why we're discussing this.
I feel that if you're a first ballot Hall of Famer, you got to be a cinch to get in, and I felt that one of those guys certainly was.
I noticed on your ballot, Scotty, you don't have Manny Ramirez.
No,
Manny Ramirez, in my opinion, this is all opinion based. Mm-hmm. That's the best right handed hitter I've seen since I've been watching baseball.
Right.
You disagree with that. When Manny Ramirez was on it at the top of his game, nobody was better than Manny Ramirez.
I don't know if I could disagree with that, and I feel like Manny eventually get on my ballot, but to me, he got popped twice, and he's not a first ballot guy to me. So,
why isn't he first ballot guy to you?
Because he got popped twice for PEDs.
So you want to talk about people getting? You want to talk about PEDs?
Right.
Let's go. Let's continue.
Well, I have a unique way of looking at things that a lot of people are not going to agree with. Okay. I felt like there were a lot of steroid guys that, you know, that I'm not going to leave the steroid guys off my ballot, but to me, I think I have to recognize it by maybe not making them first ballot.
So you want to punish the steroid guys?
He voted them all in! You voted every one of them in!
Yeah, but these guys were not on the ballot for the first time, though.
But why does that matter? Why does being on the first ballot?
I'm treating it as I've been on the committee for years.
To me, whether you're a first ballot or not should not matter. If they're a Hall of Famer, they get in, and that's it.
Well, I disagree with that.
I think, to respond to what
Greg says,
sure,
and everybody's view is different.
Yep.
I think that you have to be one of the greatest of all time without question at all to get in on a first ballot with me.
Some people put a little extra lore to being a first ballot guy.
Sure.
And Scott wants to uphold that, you know what I mean? That first ballot, that would come along with being a first ballot guy. I just think that Manny's a first ballot guy. I don't care about
Tony, where are you on this first ballot stuff? Like, do you agree with Scotty that, like, being on the first ballot is this prestigious thing and you're going to hold people off of it because you don't want them to be first ballot? Or are you voting, or do you believe that, you know, if you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer, who cares when you vote for him?
Yeah, you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer, I truly believe. But one thing, to tackle what Scott talked about, where I have a problem with what people do, is the steroid guys. I voted these guys in.
Sure.
But I have a problem with people looking at some of these steroid guys, Jeff Bagwell's in particular, one in particular, and you could actually include Barry Bonds in this. They've never failed a drug test. And for you to go out there and lump them into steroid, now Manny Ramirez has. So sure. If you want to throw them in there, you can. But who are we to be the judge and jury when these guys never failed a drug test and never was suspended?
Why, sure. And that's why, you know, I understand where Tony's coming from. One of the guys that I voted in on the first ballot had suspicions, but there was never any evidence.
So you wouldn't put Poppy on the first ballot?
Poppy never got caught, though, right?
Oh, yes, he did.
He was never suspended for it, but he was on the list that leaked out. Not the Mitchell report. He was on the list that leaked out of 103 names.
I'd have to think about that one. I haven't had time to consider that.
So Alex Rodriguez
doesn't
make your
first. I'm not gonna give you a right off the shoulder answer to that.
Alex Rodriguez doesn't make your first ballot.
No.
It's just interesting because Manny Ramirez, outside of the home runs, is numbers across the board better than Sammy Sosa, who you did vote in. For the record.
Well, Sammy Sosa has been on the ballot for a while.
Okay.
That's the way I treat it.
All right. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll reveal who got in to our, theoretical Hall of Fame, right?
We know who got in.
We know. In our Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Fame.
In our
Hall of Fame. We do know who got in, so we'll talk about that.
Who sent the email? I didn't see that email.
Jake sent it this morning.
Oh.
Or last night. We'll talk about who got in, who didn't get in, what we think, who shouldn't, who should, all that great stuff. Break it down the Hall of Fame this hour here in the Road Experts in the Morning. The FNTSY Hall of Fame nominees, not for, of course, for fantasy, for actual baseball, because we only have one Hall of Famer here.
The king.
That's you, Scott. You're the king.
Tony eventually get in, too. I'm trying to make sure of that.
Sorry, Corey.
Yeah. No, don't worry. I got plenty.
The only reason I didn't mention Corey is because I don't think Corey has enough years yet. Like, Tony's closer.
But you said Tony will eventually get in. You never said Corey would eventually get in.
Well, I'm not close to that point. Tony's, like, next on my radar. You know what I'm saying?
Would Corey be the first black member to get in?
I believe so. Because they were, so we had the Tout Wars discussion.
Right, it was Stefania Bell.
Yeah, it was Stefania Bell.
I did not know, but
she's not in the FSTA Hall of Fame. But she's the first, she broke the glass ceiling for Tout Wars.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know Stefania Bell was mixed, was biracial.
Yes.
I didn't know
we talked about that.
Yeah. We didn't talk about it on air.
No, we did not.
Maybe for a reason.
It's good that you. That's yeah. So
anyway, yeah. Hall of Fame, breaking the color barrier. FSTA will be Corey Parson.
I'm the Jackie Robinson of fantasy sports.
Yeah, that seems right to me. I feel like Scott does not want to dive into this. Scott does not want to dive into that.
Into what?
Corey Parson being the first African American in the Hall of Fame.
I know.
What would be wrong with that?
I feel like you don't support it.
Why wouldn't I support it? That's an outlandish, stupid. I'm sorry. All due respect, that's kind of a stupid thing to say.
Because you're not there. You just said you're not there yet, Corey.
Why wouldn't I support? The only reason it has nothing to do with color. What are you insinuating?
I didn't say anything about color. Yeah. Wait,
Greg.
I did not.
Friggin' millennial, like 1%. Let me be clear on what I'm going to say here. Corey's not close. You have to be in the industry 10 years being published.
Corey, you've been pretty close.
And Tony is closer than Corey.
Well, that's fine.
I don't even have to mention it with Corey. Corey knows without me saying that I'm going to back him when his time
comes.
There
you go. I just wanted that to be strong. I don't understand.
Why wouldn't I want to talk about it?
Well, I felt like you wanted to move past the Hall of Fame for the FSTA. Why do you have to call me? What do you call me, a 1%er? What does that have to do with anything? My personal income.
I didn't hear him call you a 1%er.
He did. I'm the millennial 1%er.
Oh, you're insinuating something.
What does that have to do with me?
Preposterous that I don't want to talk about race in the Hall of Fame.
I didn't say anything about race.
The way you
phrased
it.
You're talking about race.
Certainly sound like it.
I didn't talk about race. Corey brought up race.
The way you phrased it sounded like it.
I didn't
say race. You said, Scott, it doesn't seem like Scott wants to talk about race in the Hall of Fame.
I didn't say race. You had
about black people in the Hall of Fame.
I didn't say that either. Let the verbs be accurate.
You did.
No.
Rewind the
tape.
You made it sound very much like it.
I didn't say anything about that.
This is a great tweet right here. So the king is the first ballot Hall of Famer, but Manny Ramirez isn't.
I never got popped for anything.
That's from your boy Cha-Cha. Yes, no, we have evidence, Scott, that you use performance-enhancing fantasy drugs.
What are they?
Glasses.
That's funny. That's very funny.
All right, here we go. We're back to the Hall of Fame. Greg, you want to talk about the gentleman I put together?
You want to talk about your ballot? Or you want to talk about the people I got in?
Oh, we know. Well, okay, so can we announce that? I thought I saw a different email this morning.
I can announce it. I think.
Well, let's do it in grand fashion. Okay. At top of the hour, let's do it.
All right. So you want to talk about your ballot then, Corey?
Yeah, I got Bagwell on my ballot.
Bagwell made it, huh? He made it.
He made my ballot. I was on the fence on Bagwell, but I went back and looked at the numbers. Barry Bonds, I'm not that. That's the Hall of Fame, not the Vatican. Pudge. Pudge is the best catcher that I've seen play. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I have no problem with Pudge. Obviously, Manny Ramirez is the best right-handed bat. Mike Mussina is the one I was back and forth on. But I looked at...
You two guys, I would love to hear your case on how you put him in.
Sure.
I made big game pitcher.
I'm not...
Go ahead.
I'm not saying he shouldn't be in, but yeah. I think it's close.
And then Roger Clemens. Too. So, so nobody... Yeah, I noticed that... I might be on a little bit on the island on Mike Mussina. So...
I think... No, it's great. I'm down
with
too,
you.
Right?
I spoke to somebody else yesterday who was in on Mussina, too.
Yeah, we...
I wasn't quite there.
On the Fantasy Best Friends Forever, Tony, you had... I'm sorry. Corey, you had Joe Sheehan on, right? And Sheehan's a huge Mussina supporter.
Yeah.
She is a huge Mussina supporter. I've talked to a lot of people. And Tony, you're absolutely right. Mussina is a bit of a lightning rod in that he's not going to get into tomorrow. But he's someone that I think people are really going to get behind, or it's going to be one of those divisive ones. Because I think his numbers are good, right? Like, and I obviously thought they were good enough to put in the Hall of Fame. I understand the argument that he was probably never one of the top five pitchers in baseball. I get that argument, right? But he was very good for a long period of time, I think. I think in that era, with everything that was going on, I think the fact that he pitched, you know, every year, the fact that he was able to remain healthy and no sign of steroids, I think 270 wins, a lot of wins.
270 wins in the American League.
It's a lot of wins.
As an American League pitcher, so...
Here's the negative I have on it.
Sure.
Is you pointed it out, is that he never arguably could have been a top five pitcher,
yeah.
but he had back-to-back 19-win seasons.
Sure.
But in one of those 19-win seasons, ERA was almost five,
yeah.
which was crazy,
sure.
right, when you
yep.
think about it?
Mm-hmm.
But it comes down to, is this a skill? This guy took the ball
every
each
five
and
days.
Every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he put together almost 10 consecutive seasons of over 200-plus innings.
Right.
Which that has to be some sort of a skill
right.
in Major League Baseball. Then it gets to the debate, is winning games a Major League Baseball?
Right.
Is that luck?
Right.
How much is that a figment of the team? How much does that go on the pitcher? Because that's the one category, I think, that puts Mussina above everybody else, is the win.
Sure.
But we have always a debate on whether... And how much that's associated with the pitcher.
Right. We talk about that in fantasy all the time, how unpredictable it is and how unreliable it is, really.
He was on some really good teams.
He was with the Orioles and the Yankees. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I think back to, maybe this isn't a great comparison, but I think back to Craig Biggio when he got in a couple years ago and everyone called him this compiler that just stayed around for 20 years and got 3,000 hits and got all these doubles. And, you know, he just stayed around and was able to stay healthy, right, and compile these stats. And you've seen it, in my opinion, isn't unlike that where, as you just said, Tony, he stuck around every 5 days and pitched for, you know, 15 years or however long he did, and then got 270 wins and kept compiling the stats. Is that a bad thing? I don't know. Is it a skill to stay healthy? I don't know.
I think in Biggio's case, I certainly felt that way.
Sure.
Because he was such a good hitter at two different positions for such a long period.
And I don't disagree with you.
I think I have a ton of respect for that.
I don't disagree with you at all, and that's one of the reasons I put Mussina on my ballot.
Mussina, I felt like... He just missed for me.
Okay.
I felt like he was never the best of the best.
I can't fault you for that because I agree.
I felt like he was one of the best. I mean, I look at his Cy Young voting, like only one time he finished second and he never finished above fourth. Like, you know, I never felt like he was quite the best of the best.
So there's one name that's on both mine and Tony's ballots that did not make your ballots, gentlemen, Scott and Corey. And then that's a first-time nominee. I'm assuming that's why he didn't make Scottish ballot. But I got to go to you, Cor. You don't have Vladimir Guerrero here.
No.
And I want to know why. What? Why isn't Vlad make the cut
and
for
this,
you?
This, I mean, this is why I kind of had, you know, was understood where Scott was coming from later. I just think it's too early. I don't really believe that it was ever a point where Vlad was one of the top players in the game. So I do think Vlad has.
He was. He was the 2004 AL MVP.
Totally.
See, this is the thing with Vlad Guerrero, and I can go and tell you why he's on my ballot.
Sure.
I didn't even look up the stats on him, to tell you the truth, right? I didn't need to, because Vlad Guerrero, when I was growing up, was one of the three best players at his position, and that's one of the things that I looked at. I didn't want to put Trevor Hoffman in, because I don't like Trevor Hoffman as a pitcher. I don't like Trevor Hoffman. I don't like guys that kind of closes that don't throw the ball 100 miles an hour and
yep.
come in. Mm-hmm. But then I said, you know what? I'm just like these writers that I can't stand because I'm making the decisions myself, right? And basically on what I like. So I put Trevor Hoffman on my ballot. Vlad Guerrero is a no-brainer to me because he was arguably the best defensive right fielder in the game. He had a cannon for an arm. He hit the ball 30 home runs every – he swung at every pitch, and the guy hit 30 home runs every single year. I thought it was a no-brainer.
Yeah, and that's actually the reason I included him on my ballot too, Tony. This is one of those guys I didn't bother looking at the stats in all honesty, because I remembered Vlad in, you know, growing up, he was one of the best hitters in baseball every freaking year, right? You know, he played for 16 years, and I personally felt in those 16 years, you know, he played almost every game all the time, and not 162, but in the 150s and whatever, 600 at bats here, and batted over 300 almost every year of his career, even in his final season in Baltimore at 36 years old, batted 290. You know, only had 13 home runs, but he batted 290 that year, in 590 plate appearances. And I think he has an MVP to his name. He made, you know, a bajillion All Star games, and his arm was legendary. I felt, and
I didn't take 100
or more RBIs. 10 times, batted 318 for his career, 449 career home runs, 8 Silver Slugger awards, and won the Edgar Martinez Award for the best designated hitter. I think. By the way, we're talking Edgar Martinez.
Is award
name.
Award?
There's a award named after him, so maybe you should get in, yeah.
Well, you say yeah. that.
I didn't vote Edgar Martinez.
You say yeah. that maybe you should get in. Tony didn't vote for him. Corey didn't vote for him. Scott, you and I did. We'll talk about Edgar Martinez after this on the Road to Experts in the Morning. So there's one name, Scott, you just brought him up, that I've felt pretty strongly about for the last several years.
That guy?
Yeah.
No, who we were talking about in the break?
No.
Oh.
He's taken.
No. Edgar Martinez.
Oh, okay.
And maybe, and I voted for him, and I know you did too, Scotty.
Yes.
And maybe it's because of a childhood thing. I have the numbers in front of me, that this guy, at least growing up for me, and from what I have read and what I've looked at, the best before David Ortiz, the best designated hitter of all time, right? Scott, you just gave it the stat that there's an award. The best designated hitter of the year is the Edgar Martinez Award, right? So,
yeah, they started that in 2004.
So they started that 12 years ago, the Edgar Martinez Award. And yet, he's on the Hall of Fame ballot for, what year is this for him?
This is the eighth year on the ballot.
The eighth year on the ballot for Edgar Martinez. Do you happen to know what percentage of votes he got last year?
I don't know, but this is the wonderful thing about the Hall of Fame voting is, like, we can sit here and have a debate, and I can say why I like him, and you can say why you don't. In the end, you know, this is my own opinion, I'm entitled to it. You know, you can't drum me down by saying, okay, this is why he shouldn't be in. Okay, then you vote that way. It's like, I remember Edgar Martinez being one of the best pure hitters, and, you know, people make the case that he didn't play the field, but, you know, just in terms of a hitter, you know, and in his position, I felt like he didn't have any peer when he played. Like, a 300 better hitter in 10 seasons, one of only 9 players in history with 300 homers, 500 doubles, a career batting average higher than 300, a career OBP higher than 400, a career slugging percentage higher than 500. And then he won the AL batting title twice, led the league in OBP 3 times, finished in the top 5 in 7 other years, 300 or better hitter in 10 full seasons, 100 or more RBIs 6 times, 100 or more runs scored 5 times. It's just the numbers are they're very reflective of what a fantastic hitter he was.
We've seen it, right? It was this guy, a top five player at his position. He was. To me, he was number one at his position. I never felt
he was number one at his position.
You never thought he was number one designated hitter in the league?
I think Messina?
No, Angel Martinez.
Oh, okay. No, Martinez. Yeah.
So he's number one designated hitter. The problem is, for many people, he was a designated hitter. Corey, is that it for you?
It makes it a little bit easier when you're the designated hitter.
But a lot of the stats that I mentioned take away the position.
Okay, but let me ask you, Edgar Martinez guys, this. Can you explain 2000 with the 37 home runs?
How can I explain it? Probably steroids.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
But I voted every other steroid guy in. I don't care.
That's only suspicion, so I'm not.
Absolutely. But I voted all the other guys in, so I don't care.
You say it's only suspicion. Here is a season of 37 home runs out of nowhere.
For a guy that never hit 30.
But yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, it's suspicion, but he never got popped for it.
For 145
and I'm voting
RBIs.
In all the other steroid guys.
Barry Bonds
so fine.
Never got popped for it.
145 RBIs.
He never had more than 116.
Other
things surrounding him that made him more suspicious than anybody else. But,
But then again, nothing sticks out more than this 37 home runs right here.
I voted Bonds in too.
I feel you. I just thought the 37 home runs out of the blue was like. All right.
So Corey, why didn't you vote for him?
I just designated hitter.
And so are you not going to vote for David Ortiz?
No, but Poppy's different.
Why?
How?
How? Because I've seen more Big Poppy, I'll be honest with you.
So just because you haven't seen Martinez, you're not going to vote for him?
And I know what Big Poppy did in the postseason.
Tony, where are you in Edgar Martinez?
Shaking to me.
I voted him out.
What did Edgar Martinez do in the postseason?
You don't have any idea. You've never seen the guy play, so you're not going to vote him in?
He batted .266, 8 home runs, 24 ribbies in the postseason.
That's not Big Poppy.
.365 OBP. Why, you voted him out, Tony. How come?
So this was the toughest decision that I had to make, I believe. I was a fan of Edgar Martinez growing up, but there's so many holes in his statistics that I could not vote him in. He's basically the number one stat that he has is the .312 lifetime batting average. Like, that's the number one thing to get him in, which is only 79th in the history of Major League Baseball. And then I looked at some of the names ahead of him, and I look at Joey Votto, I look at Larry Walker, Nomar Garciaparra, Todd Helton, and these guys are not locks to be in the Hall of Fame. And I'm saying, you know what? So that number's not that great. The 300 home runs is light. Didn't get to 400 home runs. Didn't steal any bases. Didn't play the field, so the DH did come into play there. And I just didn't believe he belonged in the Hall of Fame when I looked at the numbers in its entirety. And I spent a lot of time on Edgar Martinez, more time than I looked at any other player.
Okay. Understandable. No problem. One guy that we actually all voted for, Pudge Rodriguez, all four of us have him on their ballot, which I'm happy to see. And then, Tony, you and I and Scotty all put Trevor Hoffman on there. Corey, you did not.
A closer?
Yeah.
Comes in for an inning.
Does Mariano not make the club?
Mariano's a different player.
Trevor Hoffman has second most amount of saves in MLB history besides Mariano.
I just look at the pedigree in the postseason. The postseason is big to me because that's when the championships are won. And that's when you make your hay right there. So opportunities may not have been there as much for Trevor Hoffman, but I'm just like, it's a closer.
Now there's...
I was big on Hoffman. It's like, to me, it's like he's maybe the best closer in National League history, period. And it's probably the second best that I ever saw behind Mariano Rivera. You know, to me, I hear what Tony says about selection, but like, you know, he's the second most successful in baseball closer in baseball history with 601 saves.
Yep.
And in addition to this, second most games finished. But here's some of the things that, like, you know, that he had a 53 save season, at least 30 in 14 to 15 consecutive seasons, second to Rivera in seasons with 20-plus saves and 30-plus saves, tied with Rivera for the most seasons with 40 saves, 9. I could go on. To me, you know, I had this debate, I think, a little bit with Benny yesterday about whether saves are a quality statistic to judge a guy by. It's, you know, that's not for me to establish when I'm making my vote. These are the stats that I know. It's, you know, this is, you know, 7-time All-Star, Rolle Age Relief Man winner twice, so all these awards, the quickest to 500 and 600 saves, outside of Enter Sandman, okay, when Mariano Rivera came out of the bullpen, the most feared song was Hell's Bells by AC/DC coming out of the bullpen when this guy pitched. This guy was the second best closer that I ever saw.
13 innings in the postseason.
That's like saying Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl. To me, he played on the San Diego Padres. That's not his fault.
All right. There you go. The passionate plea for...
I can't judge things just by postseason because sometimes, you know, you can't control whether you get to the postseason or not or how often you play in it.
So there was a guy that was on Tony's ballot and Scotty's ballot that didn't make our ballots, Corey, and that's Curt Schilling. And he seems to be a lightning rod this year to get in. Tony, why did Curt Schilling make it for you?
Well, this is interesting that he's off Corey's ballot when Corey basically talked about everybody in the postseason and now doesn't have Curt Schilling in there. That was the difference maker for me. This is a guy that won two World Series on two different teams. And you looked at it, the one thing with Schilling is on the career numbers, he comes up a little bit short, right?
Yeah, yes,
so
exactly.
260 wins
there.
And so the postseason, I gave it to put him over the edge. With those victories. If he did not have the two World Series, I would not have put him in with that. I think he's close. I think the numbers a little underwhelming from a career perspective. As the beginning of his career, he did nothing to put anything there. And then all of a sudden, at the end of his career, he put it all together.
I know we got to hit a break.
When we come back,
I have some numbers that said I cannot leave Schilling off my ballot.
And my thing is I dislike him.
We'll take a break now. When we come back, we'll discuss Curt Schilling and the guy I'll announce then that made the Fantasy Sports Network Baseball Hall of Fame. Coming up next here on Roto Experts.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Tuesday, January 17th, 2017. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the King, Scott Angle, the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson. Tony Cincotta, my name is Greg Sussman. We go the next 3 hours for you. What's going on, Scotty?
Interesting day in the National Basketball Association. Always a festive day on a Martin Luther King Day. We had we had a big football game on Sunday that lived up to the hype, but the big basketball game on Monday didn't, as the Warriors dominated the Cavs. We had a bit of drama with Draymond Green and LeBron James, and we had some injuries with Anthony Davis and Chris Paul, but fortunately, as you'll hear on the show and in the news update, x-rays were negative on both of those guys.
So you're saying, well, Chris Paul's injuries is what's up with you?
What's that?
I go, hey, what's up? You're like, Chris Paul got injured.
What's up with me is the NBA. That's what's up with me. Thank you.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Corey.
Yo.
Corey, what's up with you, man?
I got more going on in the NBA.
You got the MLB up with you or what?
Ain't nothing much chilling, actually. You know what I mean? Sitting here today, I got to turn my headphones down a little bit. Fantasy Executive sound a little bit louder in the zone.
At least your mic's on today.
Yeah, I was able to figure that part out. But other than that, you know what I'm saying, feeling pretty good. Obviously coming off a disappointing Sunday, but feeling pretty good, rocking and rolling, you know what I mean? Feel fresh, feel inspired, you know what I mean? Got a big week coming up, you know what I mean? 45 gets inaugurated, so, you know, I'm supposed to go meet him at Trump Tower today. But I think I'm trying to go in the back door.
Yeah.
Like, Fantasy Exec, come down here and holler at me.
You know, that's interesting.
If he was asking you to come holler at him, would you go?
Yeah.
Okay.
I go. He's president. You gotta show up. You gotta hear him out, right? Tony Cicada, good morning, my friend.
How are we doing today?
I'm doing okay, man. How are you?
I'm all right. I mean, what the heck? I'm breathing. And you know what?
Yeah, that's about as good as
you. So you're saying the NBA is what's up with you, too?
No. I was thinking about today. I would actually be less religious than I actually am now if I was Muslim because I really enjoy bacon.
Oh boy.
I'd rather you talk about the NBA.
Well, you ask me how. Don't ask me how I am if you don't want to know. That's what people say.
That doesn't. So you're saying then, I should probably just stop asking how you are.
Well, no, you should probably be comparable to how people feel and not be so politically correct.
Well, you know, I'm just trying not to get fired, Tony.
I just had some great bacon.
Right.
And I had some egg sandwich, and it was very enjoyable. And I said, man, if I was Muslim, I couldn't enjoy the sandwich. My life would be a little less fulfilling.
Now,
what's life without bacon, right?
Well, you know, Scott, technically, Jews shouldn't eat bacon either, to be fair.
I was about to say, isn't it the same?
Well, Jews shouldn't also respond to unbelievable things by going, Jesus!
No. Again, that's actually a falsity because Jews actually believe Jesus existed. Jesus is a real person, according to the Jewish religion, for the record.
Well, yeah, but let's not get technical about it. You shouldn't.
Well, you shouldn't call out
to Jesus,
Scott,
when you don't
Scott,
believe
I don't
something
call
you're
out
Jewish.
To him.
You got technical first.
I don't call out to him.
He got technical first.
He did get technical first, yeah. For sure. You know, I was just sitting there.
I was just, you know.
Corey, let me ask you this.
What's the deal, Greg?
You are back here. Now, we had some responses on Twitter that were wondering if your absence yesterday.
Yeah, they thought I was hiding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was related to the Cowboys' loss on Sunday afternoon.
No, that wasn't the
thing.
Oh,
see? Yeah, that's crazy. I attributed it to Martin Luther King. Which one was it?
I had some other things go on yesterday morning, so. But no, big shout out
to be fair, Corey, you know, I'll back you up on this. Yeah. Corey did text me. He said, listen, I was coming in today. I had a family emergency. I can't make it. I'll make sure I'm there tomorrow.
Yeah. Corey's days off are usually planned ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what I ended up doing, but shout out to Aaron Rodgers. Let me tell you something. Losing to Aaron Rodgers, as a Knicks fan, losing to Aaron Rodgers is like losing to Michael Jordan. It's just the excellence. It's the excellence of execution.
Bret Hart now too.
There is nothing you can really do but throw your hands up and just be like, you just got beat by the better player. So valiant effort by both teams, but definitely a big time performance from Aaron Rodgers. And you know, fitting Jared Cook, Bigfoot was like, you see it? Do you see the talent now?
When he caught that ball, you're the first person I thought of.
Me too. Yeah. I'm like, of all people, I like to get Bigfooted.
Yeah. Jared Cook. God. Jared Cook immediately moves. I don't ever want to discuss Jared Cook again.
Corey's going to draft him next season.
Where is this Jared Cook at?
You're going to draft him next year. He's going to suffer a season-ending knee injury.
But you know what's funny, Corey? Like, just literally the four plays directly preceding that, you're like, oh, there's Jared Cook dropping this pass, dropping that pass. That's the Jared Cook I love.
Yeah, I know. But
he got hit off the head with the halibut.
Yeah, that's Jared Cook.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Jared Cook. And then all of a sudden, it's like, that's not Jared Cook.
Now, the obvious question, Corey, is do you regret not going? Now, you were going to go to Jerry World, see your first time in Jerry World, seeing a playoff game, number one overall seed.
I decided to wait for the NFC
championship. Even though you knew, listen, you either facing a Giants team that's beaten you twice before or a Packers team that's the hottest team in the NFL. And you're like, you know what? I'll go in the NFC championship.
I rolled the dice. I took the gamble and was very close to going to the NFC championship game. But I looked at it as, when it came down to it, well, if they don't play the game, the money be back in the account.
That's right.
Yes. So it's
saved a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot. So there you go right there. So the money's back in the account. Will not be attending the NFC Championship game, even though going to it in Atlanta would not be bad. But, it's not going to happen. So, no, I do not regret the decision. I think the NFC Championship game was the prize. And then to actually have to be there and witness that kick would have probably been even more.
Twice! A 56-yarder and a 50-yarder.
Yeah, it would have probably been even more painful.
Probably.
I got one other thing in my life I forgot about. My favorite wrestler died growing up.
Oh, Jimmy Snuka. Big,
yeah. He was my favorite wrestler growing up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I saw that. When he jumped off the cage of the Garden, that did it for you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, no, yeah. He was, you know, back in the day, like, it was so funny. Like, Triple H was talking about how people changed from rooting for Bob Backlund to Jimmy Snuka. I thought Bob Backlund was the worst champion in the history of WWE.
Right.
Like, he was so boring.
Sure.
He was so, incredible to watch. And it was so amazing how they used to let a guy, you know, hold a title for over 5 years at a time, which I actually enjoyed better because you'd go and you'd hope. It was kind of special. So
you knew who the champ was.
Yeah, yeah. So I kind of enjoyed that, but he was so horrible to watch wrestle.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a wrestling fan, you guys know, but my uncle Bill Apter is a wrestling journalist. He's got a new book out. His wrestling fix I didn't know was broken, and I read the whole thing, and he has some legendary stories if you're a wrestling fan of Jimmy Snuka hanging out on the road with Jimmy Snuka.
Really?
You know what I don't want to do? Hang on the road with Jimmy Snuka.
Superfly.
I think you have to read. Well,
oh, I did read the book.
You read the book.
I did read the book.
Yeah, it was a very interesting story.
Yeah,
about
I know.
Jimmy Snuka.
No. I don't want to hang on the road with Jimmy Snuka because he also probably murdered someone, and that's probably bad.
Who, Jimmy Superfly?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Nah, let me tell.
Well, those weren't the kind of stories I was talking about.
I obviously know that.
To be
Scott,
sure,
I read the book.
When I was growing up, Jimmy Snuka was my favorite wrestler. You know what's so crazy about wrestlers? Like when you hear a wrestler's dead, my first thought was, oh, I thought he was dead already.
It's scary.
It's true, though,
yeah,
right?
No,
it's
I
true.
Thought he was dead already.
Is superstar Billy Graham still alive?
That's a good one.
I think he is. I believe he is, yeah.
He was the guy I liked when I was a kid.
Sure. So, you know, it's actually very sad. It's really sad that we could actually play a game about this.
Yeah, I know.
I also like Mil Máscaras.
Yeah, no, but let me. Do you
superstar
know?
Billy Graham is alive. Would you believe this? I told you George the Animal Steele is still alive.
Yeah. No, because what happens is cocaine and steroids, you know, it's tough to bounce back from that.
It's true.
And not alcohol as well.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Painkillers, everything that they put into their bodies.
Mm hmm. So,
well, I went
working for Vince McMahon.
Yeah,
week I'm gonna set you on fire. It's gonna be great.
When I went, I went and met those a lot of the legends in the wrestling world. Greg the Hammer Valentine looked like he was dead, even though he was alive.
When I met superstar Billy Graham, it's like, you know, it's just like his all his legs were like. Well, like shot, he could hardly move around. It was sad.
Wow, mm-hmm. What was you trying to do to him? What?
Oh, I saw Mick Foley
trying to
talk to
about my uncle.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mick Foley. He could barely walk at Sirius.
Yeah, I saw Mick Foley. Yeah, there I was talking to him. Yeah.
Well,
now he's on Raw every week.
Why would you? I mean, I guess it's really got to be a passion for wrestling and entertainment. And just the culture to go into that profession.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would never think to myself, oh, I want to be a wrestler.
Sure.
Never. It would never cross my mind. It just looks like it's a foolish thing to do.
I think people make, a very early decision in their careers. Like, if you listen on demand with my interview with Eric Young on the Fantasy Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah,
hour,
our buddy, EY.
You know, he talks
wrestler.
About, like, a lot of these wrestlers I've spoken to over the years, and Greg would know, like, this is something they decide they want to do very early in life, and it becomes a very singular focus. You know, it's kind of like when we had Chase Outlaw here. It's not, you know, bull riding's not something you think you want to do, but these guys, very early in life, you know, see this and decide, okay, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
It's like, and I think it's like all the rest of us. It's like when I was growing up, I was like, you know, I was reading Sport Magazine and Inside Sports and decided, you know, writing, you know, sports journalism is something I want to get into.
Yeah, I want to be a mathlete.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of wrestlers do have the passion you're talking about, Scott. A lot of them are failed football players too, right?
Yeah.
Like The Rock, right? The Rock played football at the U. And then he realized he was not going to be an NFL football player, and he went to the wrestling. And I think a lot of people take that path as well. Speaking of wrestling and football, actually, I went to a pretty cool thing over the weekend. I meant to tell you guys this yesterday. So I went to one of the premieres of This Was the XFL, the 30 for 30.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned you had tickets for that.
So
yeah.
I wound up going on Saturday. I didn't make the Friday night premiere. I went on Saturday to the 30 for 30 premiere. It was down in Cooper Union here in the lower Manhattan down there. And Charlie Ebersol, who was Dick Ebersol's son, directed it. And he was there taking some questions. Also there, He Hate Me was in the house.
Oh, Rod Smart.
Rod Smart in the house taking some pictures. That was pretty cool. And I thought it was a very good documentary. I recommend it. It's February 2nd. The 30 for 30 comes out. It was good stuff. You know, it basically focused on the relationship between Dick Ebersol. Had exclusive interviews with Vince McMahon, which is pretty cool. Bob Costas was in the 30 for 30. He was coming off like hysterically because he was like, this idea is the dumbest idea I've ever heard. And he was just like cursing and stuff, which was cool. Matt Vasgersian, huge fan of this announcer now, because he was dropping F-bombs like you'd never believe.
Really?
And like my buddy who I was with was like, is this guy actually an announcer for things? I'm like, yeah, he's actually the number two Fox announcer in baseball.
Yeah.
It was a really cool documentary, really cool inside, like inside behind the curtain of network stuff with the XFL, which was really, really cool. And I do recommend it. And I was happy I went. And the place was pretty packed. I was surprised
sounds
how many
like
people
cool time, yeah.
liked the XFL or even remember the XFL.
Pretty cool.
Rod Smart, like, talks to Paris Lennon still, who went from the XFL to the NFL. Doesn't look Tommy Maddox all that much, but a couple bunch of guys.
Tommy Maddox.
That was able to make the NFL from the XFL. It was cool. And I thought, I actually had a question for Mr. Me. And, do you get that joke, Corey? Mr. Me?
Yeah, good one.
I can tell when you're not listening to me.
No, I'm listening to you, but I'm looking for Chase Outlaw, see how he did this past weekend.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
all right.
Listening to you.
No, I'm listening,
like
though.
That.
So
that's a good one, Greg.
Thank you, appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So I asked him, like, listen, you played for the Las Vegas whatever Extreme, I think they're called Las Vegas Extreme, something like that. Las Vegas Maniac, I don't know.
I think it was the Extreme.
Was it these, I don't know if it was the Los Angeles Extreme, whatever. You played for Las Vegas,
right?
And you were in Vegas as a 22-year-old, let's say,
yeah.
right? You have all these kids from Oakland that are about to go to Las Vegas in a year or two, you know, a year, two, three.
Yeah.
I go, how did you react as a football player? Like, how does that work? Like, how does that work? I'm thinking about it from a fantasy perspective of every time you have a team that goes to freaking Las Vegas to play the Raiders. Like, how did you
focus?
Focus. That was the word I was looking for. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How did you focus? And he basically said, listen, I was a 22-year-old male, single male. You think I was focused all the time? Absolutely not. But at some point, like, when I'm trying to make the NFL, and it's a little different, I'm trying to make the NFL, you have to forget that the Strip exists a little bit. You have to forget those things.
I mean,
you gotta focus,
You can take a trip to L.A., and it's there. You can take a trip to damn Cleveland, and it's there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, J.R. said that's not true, so I believe J.R.
Oh, yeah.
He said not Cleveland.
J.R. used to bring people on the road with him, though.
Oh, I believe that. Yeah, but he said in Cleveland, it's very boring.
Oh, that's why he got married.
That's why he brought people on the road.
This is probably why the NFL, or the USFL, didn't make it. Now, when was this event?
The documentary premiere?
Yeah.
Over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
So they had this event during NFL games?
No, actually, did not. It wasn't Sunday. It was Friday night, no NFL games, and then they premiered the movie 11-1-3, and the game started at 4:30.
Yeah, so they actually. I was wondering how people showed up to that and watched 20 years ago as opposed to this weekend's NFL games.
Yeah. I thought the Las Vegas comment was really, really interesting.
That is interesting.
But it's not the same. You know, Las Vegas is not the same as it was back then. Like, you'd walk down the street before and you could find whatever you wanted.
Sure.
Now they do a good job of hiding it. Like, you have to get a little pamphlet, a little book, and then take it back to your room and go through it and find it. Before,
what are you talking
before
about?
Before, 20 years ago, it was just out there on the street.
They still hand out cards on the street, though. You know.
No, that's like what I mean. They hand out cards and the pamphlet before they used to be on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you take the pamphlet back to your room and thumb through it.
Yeah. Email somebody.
That's why you
call them up. You call them up. They give you a price, and you say, "No, honey, I don't want to buy you. I want to rent you."
So along the same lines, I have a weird question, Tony. And maybe let me ask you this. You know, you're panning through this pamphlet, right? These cards. You order off the pamphlet, is it ever accurate to the what you picked out off the menu?
I've never actually done this. My friends all are into, like, they're a little older than me, and they're all out of their mind. Like, I'm so insane. Like, when I go to Las Vegas, I spend my whole time in the book, and I never leave there, which is insane because it's such a beautiful city. Actually, I went and saw a couple comedy shows last time, so I'm graduating and actually doing things. No, there's been times, no, they're not the same person. That's why people get a limo and they go drive an hour out to Reno and they go to the Chicken Ranch, which is so famous because when you get there, you can actually pick the one you want and then you make a deal with her at the bar.
Okay.
Like, so there's no, like, when you walk
that.
In.
I saw the bunny rabbit. I saw it on HBO.
Yeah, there's no menu. Like, when you walk in, there's no menu for, you know, each act, how much it costs. You have to negotiate that.
I like that. I like negotiation. make trade negotiations, Scott, in fantasy.
Bring it all together.
There you go. They tie a bow on it.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, speaking of negotiations and stuff, we'll take a break. We here at the Fantasy Sports Network, we know the Hall of Fame is officially the votes are done, Corey. You took too long.
No, I put mine.
He did?
He voted.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought he was like, oh, okay, my voting. We at the Fantasy Sports Network, Radio Network and Network, we can file our own Hall of Fame vote, and the vote officially will be announced tomorrow at 8. I'm assuming it will leak out tonight, tomorrow. So we want to talk about it a little bit today. So when we come back, we'll discuss how our Hall of Fame vote went on the other side of the break. This is Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hall of Fame voting commences tomorrow with the announcement of who will be in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. It's interesting we're playing football music now, but that's okay. Didn't really make much sense.
I guess we didn't have the This Week in Baseball theme ready.
I don't want the This Week in Baseball theme, believe me.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just realized I'm on the wrong. Yeah, there we go. Now, Tony, are you a big, I feel like you're not. Are you a big, like, Hall of Fame person? Do you care about these things?
No, it's absolutely flawed. Like, I believe the whole process is flawed.
Do you believe that because it's, like, writers voting or what?
Yeah. But, you know what, to be honest, though, I don't know, and I hate being like this because it's easy to point out the faults in something, so if you point out the faults, you better have a resolution, is what I truly believe, if you're going to complain.
Right, of course, yeah.
But I don't find 100% accuracy of, like, if anyone could. Like, I don't think the players are the right people to do it. So I don't really have a resolution, so it bothers me a little bit.
Okay. Fair enough. Scott, I know you are a big Hall of Fame person.
I wouldn't say big. You know, I look forward to who's announced, you know. And
you've been talking about an old school fantasy a little bit. I know that.
I think it became more interesting because of the exercise that we did where we all had to put in our own votes. And I think it made me develop a greater appreciation for the exercise that they go through. You know, you don't always agree with any Hall of Fame and who they put in there, but, you know, it was fun doing the exercise and, you know, taking a lot of time yesterday to peer through the, you know, and remember, you know, some of the accomplishments from these guys. And I don't sit down and watch the speeches unless it's, like, absolutely, like, one of my favorite all-time players. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I enjoy seeing guys that I grew up enjoying, you know, getting their just due.
Tony, so Scott talks about not, you know, really watching speeches or whatnot. I'm much more likely to watch a WWE Hall of Fame speech than a MLB Hall of Fame speech, and that's a fact.
Really?
Yeah.
So you get fired? See, I like some of the speeches. Like, I love when they talk about, like, their childhood. Like, I like guys that overachieve in life.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, that inspires me. Like, the only books I read are biographies.
Okay.
I love biographies. Oh.
So we're doing our Hall of Fame. Of course, Kurt Angle announced the first Hall of Famer for WWE this year. That's pretty big news.
It's huge news.
Are you going to the Hall of Fame?
I hadn't thought. All I got right now is the WrestleMania, but we're trying to figure out if this is going to be a week thing.
You got to do NXT the night before. You got to.
Oh, yeah. We got to. We're hoping our guy Eric Young's there. You know, Eric Young, I actually read, and I don't want to throw too much of his personal business, but Eric Young is might have been the first guy that actually won in a contract negotiation with Vince McMahon.
Really? I didn't know that story.
What they do is the WWE is when they bring people in, they give them a new name.
Right.
So they can trademark it, but Eric Young was allowed to keep his own name.
Well, a couple of people were, right? Like AJ Styles was, Samoa Joe.
Right, and they said they will never do that again.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tony, what's your favorite sports biography?
It was actually Fran Tarkenton until I actually heard him and talked to him on SiriusXM, and now I think he's just crazy.
My favorite sports biography of all time is Clemente by David Marinus.
All right.
I highly recommend if you get a hold of it, Tony.
The Rolling Stones, I can't forget. I forget the title, but the Rolling Stones one, it might be Gimme Shelter.
Yeah, I think it is Gimme Shelter.
It was an absolute train wreck that you have to read. It's amazing that these guys are alive.
Yeah. You go get Clemente, maybe I'll read Gimme Shelter.
Gimme Shelter.
All right, there you go. So let's get back to the Hall of Fame now. Corey, I know you voted. I'm wondering one thing. I know you have the vote up on your screen here, bud. So we're all, much like the real voters are, we're all allowed 10 spots, right?
Yeah.
And some people use their 10 spots, like me. And others felt, you know, there weren't enough people that they wanted to vote for. Like Chris Pavona, right? Like, he voted for nobody. So, thank you, Chris. We...
I made some nominations. I didn't fill up the 10, though.
And that's fine.
I didn't fill out the 10 either. I got close, but I felt like... You know,
I didn't either.
Unless I felt like you were the best of the best at some point in your career.
Sure.
I felt like you didn't make it. And I felt there were some guys who, and everybody has a different perspective on this. And I felt like some guys weren't, even though they might eventually. I treated like a real voter. There were some guys that felt like were on the ballot for the first time that I didn't feel were first ballot Hall of Fame.
I'm sorry. Just to follow up with that. So I was going to point out something funny. So I'll get back to you in 1 second, Scott, because I want to bring up a point you said.
Yeah.
And we all voted for you. 10 was the max, right? No, do you see anybody? And there's a red line. You can't go past the red line.
Yeah.
You know, there's one person that voted 3 more people past the red line.
Yeah. I was like, is he drunk? how do you not comprehend that? Like,
so I thought long and hard about this, Tony. And I'm thinking maybe he's just like, well, here are the people that are just out. Like, here's the people that just missed it.
Oh, that could be it.
Like maybe that's it, you know? Yeah. Not that I'm going to vote for these people. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
You're giving the guy the benefit of the doubt. That's very good.
Thank you. I am. Anyway, Scotty, you said you didn't vote for some... There's people you voted for because you didn't feel that they're first ballot Hall of Famers, right? I don't want to misquote you.
I felt like I don't want to put too many guys on my ballot. And if I feel a guy's like eventually going to get in or I eventually want to put him in, I had to have some sort of cutout because... You know, some of those guys who were probably first balloters, but the way that we, you know, we're discussing this, I think it was with Benny, that, you know, there's kind of, or Jake's, there's kind of a backlog of guys who I felt should get in, and I have to cut it off at some point. I feel like these are the guys that should get in now, and there has to be a cutoff point for me, like, okay, I can get this guy in next year. I don't want to overload my ballot.
And let me ask you this.
I'm sorry, Corey.
Go ahead.
You don't want... See, that's not fair to me. This is just me, right? And that's not fair to me because you have 10 spots, right? You have 10 spots. And you're choosing, listen, this guy doesn't belong on the first ballot. If you believe he's a Hall of Famer, he's a Hall of Famer.
I have very minor questions about some of those first balloters. And if I have any inkling of any doubt, the guy's not going to make the ballot this year.
What's going to change next year?
The field, because I feel like there's a backlog of guys who haven't gotten in that I feel should get in
You have two empty spots here. You could have chosen those people, right? Like, you have two spots left to fill, and you chose not to.
I feel like, to me, my personal rule is,
yes,
if you're a first battle Hall of Famer, yes, you have to be one of the greatest of all time, period.
So that really bothers me.
Yeah.
That concept really bothers me.
That's okay.
Because
you don't have to agree with it.
So it reminds me of like stupid old Murray Chass, right? Like, oh, I'm old grumpy. I'm not going to vote anybody into the first ballot because I'm an old grumpy sports writer.
Somebody, by the way, did get in first ballot for me, though. They have one guy that did.
But, like, to me, it shouldn't be done, in my opinion, it shouldn't be done like that.
Look, I've heard a lot of people say that, and that's fair, you know? But
like, if you're a Hall of Famer,
I hear that, that's fair.
Right.
But I didn't want to water down my ballot, you know, and I don't think water down is the way to describe it. I didn't want to overdo it in my ballot. I gave myself a cutoff point of 6, and I went over that.
Go into it with a predetermined number?
The predetermined number is 10. That is the number that's
I felt like I went into it.
Why
did
you say, okay, I'm
going to
pick 6
you
guys?
Have to, no, I didn't say that. It said I got to a point where I was looking at it, okay, there's only 6 or 8 guys that I feel like. There's 6 guys that I feel slam dunk. There are 2 guys that I felt like I was a little bit on the fence with, but I was leaning towards it. And the other was I just felt I wasn't ready to do it. You know, anybody can disagree with me, but it's my ballot.
This is why we're discussing this.
I feel that if you're a first ballot Hall of Famer, you got to be a cinch to get in, and I felt that one of those guys certainly was.
I noticed on your ballot, Scotty, you don't have Manny Ramirez.
No,
Manny Ramirez, in my opinion, this is all opinion based. That's the best right handed hitter I've seen since I've been watching baseball.
Right.
You disagree with that? When Manny Ramirez was on at the top of his game, nobody was better than Manny Ramirez.
I don't know if I could disagree with that, and I feel like Manny eventually get on my ballot, but to me, he got popped twice, and he's not a first ballot guy to me. So,
Why isn't he first ballot guy to you?
Because he got popped twice for PEDs.
So you want to talk about people getting... You want to talk about PEDs.
Right.
Let's go. Let's continue.
Well, I have a unique way of looking at things that a lot of people are not going to agree with, okay? I felt like there were a lot of steroid guys that, you know, that... I'm not going to leave the steroid guys off my ballot, but to me, I think I have to recognize it by maybe not making them first ballot.
But that, but just
so you want to punish the steroid guys?
But he voted them all in. He voted every one of them in.
Yeah, but these guys were not on the ballot for the first time, though.
But why does that matter? Why does being on the first ballot?
I'm treating it as I've been on the committee for years.
To me, whether you're first ballot or not should not matter. If they're a Hall of Famer, they get in, and that's it.
Well, I disagree with that.
People do have something.
To respond to what Greg says, everybody's view is different.
Yep.
I think that you have to be one of the greatest of all time without question at all to get in on a first ballot with me.
Some people put a little extra lore to being a first ballot guy.
Sure.
And Scott wants to uphold that. You know what I mean? That first ballot that would come along with being a first ballot guy. I just think that Manny's a first ballot guy. I don't care about
Tony. Where are you on this first ballot stuff? Like, do you agree with Scotty that like being on the first ballot is this prestigious thing, and you're going to hold people off of it because you don't want them to be first ballot? Or are you voting, or do you believe that, you know, if you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer? Who cares when you vote for him?
Yeah, you're a Hall of Famer. You're a Hall of Famer. I truly believe. But one thing to tackle what Scott talked about, where I have a problem with what people do, is the steroid guys. I voted these guys in.
Sure.
But I have a problem with people looking at some of these steroid guys, and Jeff Bagwell's in particular, one in particular, and you could actually include Barry Bonds in this. They've never failed a drug test. And for you to go out there and lump them into steroid, now Manny Ramirez has, so if you want to throw them in there, you can. But who are we to be the judge and jury when these guys never failed a drug test and never
and
was
that's
suspended?
Why, sure. And that's why, you know, I understand where Tony's coming from. One of the guys that I voted in on the first ballot had suspicions, but there was never any evidence.
So you wouldn't put Poppy on the first ballot?
Poppy never got caught, though, right?
Oh, yes, he did.
He was never suspended for it, but he was on the list that leaked out. Not the Mitchell report. He was on the list that leaked out of 103 names.
I'd have to think about that one. I haven't had time to consider
Alex Rodriguez
that yet. I'm not gonna give you a, you know, right off the shoulder answer.
Alex Rodriguez doesn't make your first ballot.
No,
it's just interesting because Manny Ramirez, outside of the home runs, is, you know, numbers across the board better than Sammy Sosa, who you did vote in. For the record,
well, Sammy Sosa's been on the ballot for a while.
Okay,
that's the way I treat it.
All right, we're gonna take a break here. When we come back, we'll reveal who got in to our, you know, theoretical Hall of Fame, right?
We know who got in.
We know. In our Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Fame. We do know who got in, so we'll talk about that.
Who sent the email? I didn't see that email.
Jake sent it this morning.
Oh.
Or last night. We'll talk about who got in, who didn't get in, what we think, who shouldn't, who should, all that great stuff. Break it down to Hall of Fame this hour here in the Road Experts in the Morning. The FNTSY Hall of Fame nominees, not for, of course, your fantasy, for actual baseball, because, you know, we only have one Hall of Famer here.
The king.
That's you, Scott. You're the king.
Tony eventually get in, too. I'm trying to make sure of that.
Sorry, Corey.
Yeah. No, don't worry. I got plenty. Corey's not,
the only reason I didn't mention Corey is because I don't think Corey has enough years yet. Like, Tony's closer.
But you said Tony will eventually get in. You never said Corey would eventually get in.
Well, I'm not close to that point. Tony's like next on my radar. You know what I'm saying?
Would Corey be the first black member to get in?
I believe so. Because we had the Tout Wars discussion.
Right, it was Stefania Bell.
Yeah, it was Stefania Bell.
The first minority there.
She's not in the FSTA Hall of Fame. But she's the first. She broke the glass ceiling for Tout Wars.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know Stefania Bell was mixed. Was biracial.
Yes.
I didn't know.
We talked about that.
Yeah. We didn't talk about it at all, yeah.
No, we did not.
Maybe for a reason.
It's good that you, that's, yeah, so.
Anyway, yeah, Hall of Fame, breaking the color barrier, FSTA would be Corey Parson.
I'm the Jackie Robinson of fantasy sports.
Yeah, that seems right to me. I feel like Scott does not want to dive into this. Scott does not want to dive into that.
Into what?
Into the Corey Parson being the first African-American in the Hall of Fame.
I know.
What would be wrong with that?
I don't know. I feel you don't support it.
Why wouldn't I support it? That's an outlandish, stupid. I'm sorry, all due respect. That's kind of a stupid thing to say.
Because you're not there. You just say you're not there yet, Corey.
Why wouldn't I support? The only reason it has nothing to do with color. What are you insinuating?
I didn't say anything about color. Wait.
Greg. I did not. Friggin' millennial, like 1%. Oh, let me be clear on what I'm going to say here. Corey's not close. You have to be in the industry 10 years being published.
Corey, you've been pretty close.
And Tony is closer than Corey.
Well, that's fine.
I don't even have to mention it with Corey. Corey knows without me saying that I'm going to back him when his time
comes. There you go. I just wanted that to be strong. I don't understand.
Why wouldn't I want to talk about it?
Well, I felt like you wanted to move past the Hall of Fame for the FSTA. Why do you have to call me? What do you call me a 1%er? What does that have to do with anything? My personal income.
I didn't hear him call you a 1%er.
He did. A millennial 1%er.
Oh, you're insinuating something.
What does that have to do with me?
Preposterous that I don't want to talk about race in the Hall of Fame.
I didn't say anything about race.
The way you
phrased
it.
You're talking about race.
Certainly sound like it.
I didn't talk about race. Corey brought up race.
The way you phrased it sounded like it.
I didn't
you said, Scott, it doesn't seem like Scott wants to talk about race in the Hall of Fame.
I didn't say race. You
about black people in the Hall of Fame.
I didn't say that either. Let the verbs be accurate.
Yes, you did.
No.
Rewind the tape. You made it sound very much like it.
I didn't say anything about that.
You made it sound very much like it.
This is a great tweet right here. So the King is the first ballot Hall of Famer, but Manny Ramirez isn't.
I never got popped for anything.
That's from your boy Cha-Cha. No, we have evidence, Scott, that you use performance-enhancing fantasy drugs.
What are they?
Glasses.
That's funny. That's very funny.
All right, here we go. We're back to the Hall of Fame. Greg, you want to talk about the gentleman I put together?
You want to talk about your ballot? Or you want to talk about people that got in?
Oh, we know. Well, okay, so can we announce that? I thought I saw a different email this morning.
I can announce it. I think.
Well, let's do it in grand fashion. Okay. At top of the hour, let's do it.
All right. So you want to talk about your ballot then, Corey?
Yeah, I got Bagwell on my ballot.
Bagwell made it, huh? He made it.
He made my ballot. Yeah. I was on the fence on Bagwell, but I went back and looked at the numbers. Barry Bonds, I'm not that. That's the Hall of Fame, not the Vatican. Pudge. Pudge is the best catcher that I've seen play. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I have no problem with Pudge. Obviously, Manny Ramirez is the best right-handed bat. Mike Mussina is the one I was back and forth on. But I looked at
you two guys. I would love to hear your case on how you put him in.
Sure.
I made big game pitcher.
I'm not.
Go ahead.
I'm not saying he shouldn't be in, but I think it's close.
And then Roger Clemens. Too. So so nobody. Yeah, I noticed that. I think I might be on a little bit on the island on Mike Mussina. So
I think Greg
I'm down with
too,
you.
Right?
I'm with you.
I think I spoke to somebody else yesterday who was in on Messina too.
Yeah, we all.
I wasn't quite there
on the Fantasy Best Friends Forever. Tony, you had. I'm sorry, Corey, you had Joe Sheehan on, right? And Sheehan's a huge Messina supporter.
Yeah,
she is a huge Messina supporter. I've talked to a lot of people, and Tony, you're absolutely right. Messina is a bit of a lightning rod in that he's not going to get into like tomorrow. But he's someone that I think people are really going to get behind, or it's going to be one of those divisive ones. Because I think his numbers are good, right? Like, and I obviously thought they were good enough to put in the Hall of Fame. I understand the argument that he was probably never one of the top five pitchers in baseball. I get that argument, right? But he was very good for a long period of time, I think. I think in that era, with everything that was going on, I think the fact that he pitched, you know, every year, the fact that he was able to remain healthy and no sign of steroids, I think, 270 wins, a lot of wins.
270 wins in the American League.
It's a lot of wins.
As an American League pitcher, so.
Here's the negative I have on it.
Sure.
Is you pointed it out, is that he never arguably could have been a top five pitcher, but he had back-to-back 19-win seasons.
Sure.
But in one of those 19-win seasons, ERA was almost 5, which was crazy, right,
sure.
when you think about it?
Mm-hmm.
But it comes down to, is this a skill? This guy took the ball
every
each and
days.
Every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he put together almost 10 consecutive seasons of over 200-plus innings.
Right.
Which that has to be some sort of a skill
right.
in Major League Baseball. Then it gets to the debate, is winning games a Major League Baseball?
Right.
Is that luck? Right. How much is that a figment of the team? How much does that go on the pitcher? Because that's the one category, I think, that puts Mussina above everybody else, is the win.
Sure.
But we have always a debate on whether and how much that's associated with the pitcher.
Right. And we talk about that in fantasy all the time, how unpredictable it is and how unreliable it is, really.
He was on some really good teams.
He was with the Orioles and the Yankees. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I think back to, maybe this isn't a great comparison, but I think back to Craig Biggio when he got in a couple years ago, and everyone called him this compiler that just stayed around for 20 years and got 3,000 hits and got all these doubles. And, you know, he just stayed around and was able to stay healthy, right, and compile these stats. And Mussina, in my opinion, isn't unlike that, where, as you just said, Tony, he stuck around every 5 days and pitched for, you know, 15 years. Years or however long he did, and then got 270 wins and kept compiling the stats. Is that a bad thing? I don't know. Is it a skill to stay healthy? I don't know.
I think in Biggio's case, I certainly felt that way.
Sure.
Because he was such a good hitter at two different positions for such a long period.
And I don't disagree with you.
I have a ton of respect for that.
I don't disagree with you at all, and that's one of the reasons I put Mussina on my ballot.
Mussina, I felt like he just missed for me.
Okay.
I felt like he was never the best of the best.
I can't fault you for that, because I agree.
I felt like he was one of the best. I mean, I look at his Cy Young voting, like, only one time he finished second, and he never finished above fourth. Like, you know, I never felt like he was quite the best of the best.
So there's one name that is on both mine and Tony's ballots that did not make your ballots, gentlemen, Scott and Corey. And then that's a first-time nominee. I'm assuming that's why he didn't make Scottie's ballot. But I got to go to you, Cor. You don't have Vladimir Guerrero here.
No.
And I want to know why. Why isn't Vlad make the cut
and
for you?
This is why I kind of had, you know, was understood where Scott was coming from later. I just think it's too early. I don't really believe that it was ever a point where Vlad was one of the top players in the game. So I do think
He was. He was the 2004 AL MVP.
Totally.
See, this is the thing with Vlad Guerrero, and I can go and tell you why he's on my ballot.
Sure.
I didn't even look up the stats on him, to tell you the truth, right? I didn't need to, because Vlad Guerrero, when I was growing up, was one of the three best players at his position, and that's one of the things that I looked at. I didn't want to put Trevor Hoffman in, because I don't like Trevor Hoffman as a pitcher. I don't like Trevor Hoffman. I don't like guys that kind of closes, that don't throw the ball 100 miles an hour and come in.
Mm-hmm.
But then I said, you know what? I'm just like these writers that I can't stand, because I'm making the decisions myself, right? And basically on what I like. So I put Trevor Hoffman on my ballot. Vlad Guerrero is a no-brainer to me, because he was arguably the best defensive right fielder in the game. He had a cannon for an arm. He hit the ball 30 home runs every – he swung at every pitch, and the guy hit 30 home runs every single year. I thought it was a no-brainer.
Yeah, and that's actually the reason I included him on my ballot too, Tony. This is one of those guys I didn't bother looking at the stats, in all honesty, because I remembered Vlad growing up. He was one of the best hitters in baseball every freaking year, right? You know, he played for 16 years, and I personally felt in those 16 years, you know, he played almost every game all the time, and not 162, but in the 150s and whatever, 600 at bats here, and batted over 300 almost every year of his career, even in his final season in Baltimore at 36 years old, batted 290, you know, only had 13 home runs, but he batted 290 that year, in 590 plate appearances. And I think he has an MVP to his name. He made, you know, a bajillion all-star games, and his arm was legendary, I felt. And
I didn't take 100
or more RBIs 10 times, batted 318 for his career, 449 career home runs, 8 Silver Slugger Awards, and won the Edgar Martinez Award for the best designated hitter. By the way, we're talking Edgar Martinez. There's an award named after him, so maybe you should get in,
Well, you say that.
I didn't vote Edgar Martinez.
You say that maybe you should get in. Tony didn't vote for him. Corey didn't vote for him. Scott, you and I did. We'll talk about Edgar Martinez after this on the Roto Experts in the Morning. So there's one name, Scott, you just brought him up, that I've felt pretty strongly about for the last several years.
That guy?
Yeah.
No, who we were talking about in the break?
No.
Oh.
He's taken.
No. Edgar Martinez.
Oh, okay.
And maybe, and I voted for him, and I know you did too, Scotty.
Yes.
And maybe it's because of a childhood thing, and I have the numbers in front of me, that this guy, at least growing up for me, and from what I have read and what I've looked at, the best before David Ortiz, the best designated hitter of all time, right? Scotty, you just gave it the stat that he there's an award. The best designated hitter of the year is the Edgar Martinez Award, right? So,
yeah, they started that in 2004.
So they started that 12 years ago, the Edgar Martinez Award, and yet he's on the Hall of Fame ballot for what year is this for him?
This is the eighth year on the ballot.
The eighth year on the ballot for Edgar Martinez. Do you happen to know what percentage of votes he got last year?
I don't know, but this is the wonderful thing about the Hall of Fame voting is, like, we can sit here and have a debate, and I can say why I like him, and you can say why you don't. In the end, you know, this is my own opinion, I'm entitled to it. You know, you can't drum me down by saying, okay, this is why he shouldn't be in. Okay, then you vote that way. It's like, I remember Edgar Martinez being one of the best pure hitters, and, you know, people make the case that he didn't play the field, but, you know, just in terms of a hitter, you know, and in his position, I felt like he didn't have any peer when he played. Like, a 300 better hitter in 10 seasons, one of only 9 players in history with 300 homers, 500 doubles, a career batting average higher than 300, a career OBP higher than 400, a career slugging percentage higher than 500. And then he won the AL batting title twice, led the league in OBP 3 times, finished in the top 5 in 7 other years, 300 or better hitter in 10 full seasons, 100 or more RBIs 6 times, 100 or more runs scored 5 times. The numbers are... They're very reflective of what a fantastic hitter he was.
We've seen it, right? Was this guy a top 5 player at his position? He was. To me, he was number 1 at his position. I never felt
he was number 1 at his position.
You never thought he was number 1 designated hitter in the league?
I think Messina?
No, Edgar Martinez.
Oh, okay. No, Martinez. Yeah.
Right. So he's number 1 designated hitter. The problem is, he was, for many people, he was a designated hitter. Corey, is that it for you?
It makes it a little bit easier when you're the designated hitter.
But a lot of the stats that I mentioned take away the position.
Okay, but let me ask you, Edgar Martinez, guys, this. Can you explain 2000 with the 37 home runs?
How can I explain it? Probably steroids.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
But I voted every other steroid guy in. I don't care.
That's only suspicion, so I'm not.
Absolutely. But I voted all the other guys in, so I don't care.
You say it's only suspicion. Here is a season of 37 home runs out of nowhere.
For a guy that never hit 30.
But yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, it's suspicion, but he never got popped for it.
For 145 RBIs.
And I'm voting
RBIs.
In all the other steroid guys,
Barry Bonds
so fine.
Never got popped for it.
145 RBIs,
Barry
he never had more than 116.
There's other things surrounding him that made him more suspicious than anybody else. But then
but
again,
nothing sticks
but
out
then
more
again,
than this 37
but guess what?
Home runs right
guess
here.
What? I voted Bonds in too,
no,
so.
I feel you. I just thought the 37 home runs out the middle of out of the blue was like.
All right, so Corey, why didn't you vote for him?
I just designated hitter.
And so you're not going to vote for David Ortiz?
No, but Poppy's different.
Why?
How?
How? Because I've seen more Big Poppy, I'll be honest
with you. So just because you haven't seen Martinez, you're not going to vote for him?
And I know what Big Poppy did in the postseason.
Tony, where are you in Edgar Martinez?
Shaking to me.
I voted him out.
How is that shaky? What did Edgar Martinez do in the postseason?
Because you've never seen the guy play, so you're not going to vote him in?
He batted 266, 8 home runs, 24 ribbies in the postseason.
That's not Big Poppy.
365 OBP. Why, you voted him out, Tony. How come?
So this was the toughest decision that I had to make, I believe. I was a fan of Edgar Martinez growing up. But there's so many holes in his statistics that I could not vote him in. He's basically the number one stat that he has is the 312 lifetime batting average. Like, that's the number one thing to get him in, which is only 79th in the history of Major League Baseball. And then I looked at some of the names ahead of him. And I look at Joey Votto. I look at Larry Walker, Nomar Garciaparra, Todd Helton, and these guys are not locks to be in the Hall of Fame. And I'm saying, you know what? So that number is not that great. The 300 home runs is light. Didn't get to 400 home runs. Didn't steal any bases. Didn't play the field, so the DH did come into play there. And I just didn't believe he belonged in the Hall of Fame when I looked at the numbers in its entirety. And I spent a lot of time on Edgar Martinez, more time than I looked at any other player.
Okay. Understandable. No problem. One guy that we actually all voted for, Pudge Rodriguez, all 4 of us have him on their ballot, which I'm happy to see. And then Tony, you and I and Scotty all put Trevor Hoffman on there. Corey, you did not.
A closer?
Yeah.
Comes in for an inning.
Does Mariano not make the club?
Mariano's a different player.
Trevor Hoffman has second most amount of saves in MLB history besides Mariano.
I just look at the pedigree in the postseason. The postseason is big to me because that's when the championships are won, and that's when you make your hay right there. So opportunities may not have been there as much for Trevor Hoffman, but I'm just like, it's a closer.
Now there's...
I was big on Hoffman. It's like, to me, it's like he's maybe the best closer in National League history, period. And it's probably the second best that I ever saw behind Mariano Rivera. You know, to me, I hear what Tony says about selection, but like, you know, he's the second most successful in baseball closer in baseball history with 601 saves.
Yep.
And in addition to this... Second most games finished, but here's some of the things that, like, you know, that he had a 53 save seasons, at least 30 in 14 and 15 consecutive seasons, second to Rivera in seasons with 20-plus saves and 30-plus saves, tied with Rivera for the most seasons with 40 saves, 9. I could go on. To me, you know, I had this debate, I think, a little bit with Benny yesterday about whether saves are a quality statistic to judge a guy by. It's, you know... That's not for me to establish when I'm making my vote. These are the stats that I know. It's, you know, this is, you know, 7-time All-Star, Rolaids relief man winner twice, all these awards, the quickest to 500 and 600 saves. Outside of Enter Sandman, okay, when Mariano Rivera came out of the bullpen, the most feared song was Hell's Bells by AC/DC coming out of the bullpen when this guy pitched. This guy was the second best closer that I ever saw.
13 innings in the postseason.
That's like saying Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl. To me, he played on the San Diego Padres. That's not his fault.
All right, there you go. The passionate plea. For,
I'm not saying. I mean, I think the guys.
I can't judge things just by postseason because sometimes you know you can't control whether you get to the postseason or not, or how often you play in it.
So there was a guy that was on Tony's ballot and Scotty's ballot that didn't make our ballots, Corey, and that's Curt Schilling. He seems to be a lightning rod this year to get in. Tony, why did Curt Schilling make it for you?
Well, this is interesting that he's off Corey's ballot when Corey basically talked about everybody in the postseason and now doesn't have Curt Schilling in there. That was the difference maker for me. This is a guy that won two World Series on two different teams. And you looked at it. The one thing with Schilling is on the career numbers, he comes up a little bit short, right?
Yeah, yes,
so he's
exactly.
260 wins
yep.
There. And so the postseason, I gave it to put him over the edge. With those victories. If he did not have the two World Series, I would not have put him in with that. I think he's close. I think the numbers are a little underwhelming from a career perspective. As the beginning of his career, he did nothing to put anything there. And then all of a sudden, at the end of his career, he put it all together.
I know we got to hit a break.
I dislike him.
When we come back, yeah. I have some numbers that said I cannot leave Schilling off my ballot.
And my thing is I dislike him.
We'll take a break now. When we come back, we'll discuss Curt Schilling and the guy I'll announce then that made the Fantasy Sports Network Baseball Hall of Fame. Coming up next here on Roto Experts.